All right, as promised, I am continuing to chat now with Chris Taylor, President and CEO of Great Bear Resources. After the last segment where we went through a bit more of a macro look at the sector, especially in terms of companies, let's dive now into Great Bear Resources. Traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. Chris, there's been a couple news releases out over the last, let's say, month and a little bit. One that we should just quickly touch on came out more or less at the beginning of October that outlined some more impressive drill results, about 18.5 grams per ton gold over a little more than 19 meters, and also outlines that the company has reached 100,000 meters drilled at the LP fault. Give us a little update on the drilling, what's going on now, and what some of these recent results mean in the big picture.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. We continue to methodically expand on the edges of the LP fault discovery. So every month that goes down, goes by, we've drilled another 50 or 100 meters down below or along strike in certain areas, or filled in these big gaps that we still have in the drilling, 100 meter gaps, 75 meter gaps. So these are the kind of things that we continue to do, and we keep hitting. I mean, quite frankly, if you just looked at the news releases from the LP fault over the last, year and a half, you'll see that it keeps expanding. It keeps getting filled in. Consistency is really shining forth here. And you're seeing that you have repeatable, consistent, high-grade gold numbers, repeatable, consistent halos of this mid-grade, multi-gram, and low-grade kind of gram or sub-gram mineralization for hundreds of meters around these things. It can be really impressive. So the drill results that we put out just show you the consistency, the expansion potential, and really, you know, if you look around the industry today, you know, Great Bear has always acted boldly. Like the initial step out drilling that we did along the LP was kilometer long. Like we would drill a hole and then step along a kilometer and hit the geology and the gold again. We did that for like 11 kilometers at the LP fault, and then basically pulled back into where we think the system's this fat, kind of high grade, section, which is in the middle, kind of 4 to 5 kilometers. And we've been effectively just systematically expanding it along strike at depth and filling in these holes. So remarkably consistent and very predictable in terms of the gold that it's delivering.
How many drills are on site right now, Chris?
We've got 5 rigs on the property right now, which is basically oscillating between generally we have like 4 rigs at the LP fault and a rig sort of directed at the Hinge or Dixie Limb. Sometimes it's 3 rigs at the LP fault and, a drill that's focused on the Hinge and Limb, and another one doing regional type work, like with the Arrowzone discovery earlier this year. But at other times, it's all 5 rigs pounding away at the LP fault. As we, what we're really doing, though, I guess, to characterize it, is just about 6 or 7 months ago, we began building like a very comprehensive, very detailed 3-dimensional model of the LP mineralization and the other zones as well. And just over the last kind of 3 to 4 months, the drilling, quite frankly, I know we've talked about a grid drill program. I know we've talked about just having to systematically basically drill off the LP. But really what we've been doing is testing this model. And what right now we've got about 30 drill holes that have been completed or in the process of being completed that were designed to test that model that we've put together. And that's gone really, really well. Like we're hitting gold mineralization on these big step outs, sometimes a couple hundred meters. Sometimes it's 100 meters, 150 meters, and we're hitting the gold within 2 or 3 meters of where our models predicted prior to the drilling. It's been absolutely incredible. So just coming up on the 30th, that's Monday the 30th, Bob and I are going to give a webinar to all the shareholders and investors and anybody else in the industry that's curious to see what the high-grade gold looks like as it's distributed along the LP fault and what the other mid-grade and low-grade halos around that in how that relates to geology, high-strain zones, the whole thing, really focusing on that shallow 0-meter depth where we get the gold going right to surface in most places and going down to 400 or 500 meters depth. And people will be able to see that in probably an excessive amount of detail, which should be very informative. And we welcome everybody to chime in on that webinar.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to post a link to that webinar on the weekend show posting so people can sign up and tune in when it goes live. Chris, I have to ask you, in a big picture sense, when do you guys finally move forward with a resource and start to put some actual, maybe economic numbers around this project? That kind of ties in with the recent news release that also showed 97% of gold recoveries. What is the balance here?
Well, basically, this is kind of a funny point, and I don't think most people would realize this, but what we're aiming to do here is very ambitious with Great Bear. And, you know, so far, so good, I have to say. But what our goal is, the real goal of the work that'll be disclosed next year, is to deliver the largest, fastest, cheapest, best looking maiden resource in the industry. Because in the sense, on the LP fault, I know that's a grandiose statement, I totally understand that, but we only found the LP fault 18 months ago. So you got to think, if we deliver a maiden resource on the LP fault next year, you know, you're going to be looking at the fastest turnaround time for a resource of that size in the entire industry. So, and what we want to do as we show that we're doing that is show that we spent less money to deliver a bigger resource, a big, comprehensive, cheap to deliver, cost efficient resource, which is showing the tier one potential of the Great Bear project, the Dixie project. And if we can do all that, it'll be the fastest delivery of a resource on the biggest spatial target. So it's a tall order. You've got a 4 or 5 kilometer long zone. That's one zone in the middle of the LP fault that is, you know, it's huge. It's shallow, fortunately, which is why we can do this thing so quickly. And we want to be able to deliver something that nobody else will provide with the same amount of drilling that we're doing. So it's not just about trying to throw money at a project or throwing as many rigs as possible at a project or any of those things. It's about capital efficiency and trying to benefit your shareholders as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible, and as largely as possible, if that's the proper phrasing. I think I got my English wrong there somewhere, but that's the goal of what we're doing now with Great Bear.
Okay, I think that summarizes it pretty nicely. I have had a couple other questions regarding some of these other targets that you're drilling in the past, the Arrow Zone, some of the deeper targets. Are these, I don't want to say pushed aside right now, but the focus is still on this LP zone, correct?
Yeah, the LP is going to be the dominant economic driver of the project. If you look at the Dixie Limb and the Hinge Zone, I don't want to go out and make a statement, you know, of my own. It's still being drilled and all this. But if you read the analyst reports that are the guys that are covering Great Bear, they think that over time with more drilling, we can develop sort of 1 million to 3 million ounces of gold in a Red Lake style system collectively with the Hinge and the Limb Zone, this kind of stuff. So that's great. It's, you know, it's showing you that you have multi-million ounce potential on these targets, but it pales in comparison into what could be delivered potentially at the LP. Based on the data that we see, the LP is a totally different scale of target. And, you know, that's really the focus here. It is valuable. We do want to show that we have these consistent Red Lake style high grade gold in vein systems, but the focus has to remain on the LP fault. You also asked me about the metallurgy there, Corey, and I'll just address that really quick. So we did some metallurgical work on the Hinge Zone that we published recently. That showed you that you've got roughly 97% gold recoveries out of those test samples that we did, these composite samples. And I think the importance there, just for the investor perspective, is that what you see basically in the reported grade for the Hinge is basically what you get. And it's not one of these scenarios where you have weird gold encapsulation or some other crazy discount factor you have to apply because you've got weird mineralogy or something else going on. This is plain vanilla Red Lake style high grade free gold, and it recovers much like everything else in the district. And I think you're going to see very good gold recoveries like that from all the other zones on the project as well, based on the petrography and the observation of thousands and thousands of core samples showing the same kind of free visibility gold. I think basically what you see on the reported grades at Dixie are what you're going to get over the long term.
One other thing that we should touch on is a recent board of directors nomination, Paula Rogers. Give us a little color on the significance of bringing Paula into the team.
Well, over time, you know, like effectively it was Bob Singh and myself that put together Great Bear, kind of right out of the gate. And then we brought it over to the Discovery Group back in 2016. That's John Robbins and Jim Paterson acting as advisors there. And we brought in a totally new board of directors at that time. And now, you know, right now, we're looking at the advancement of the project. So we built Great Bear as a real, you know, a real efficient, high performing Explorco. But it's really obvious going forward that we've now made a major discovery. And this project is a project that needs to get developed. So Paula is somebody that's been involved in big project financing previously. And, you know, if you read the news release that we put out, you'd see one of the things that she's done is a lot of debt and equity combination financings. I believe she was instrumental in the financing of this Pueblo Viejo mine in the Dominican Republic. It's now operated jointly by Barrick and Newmont. And that was a financing of over, like, I think it was about $3.5 billion. So, you know, this is somebody that has experience financing the builds on a tier one type mine and somebody that's very well regarded in the mining industry. So that's the kind of expertise by her joining Great Bear, I think our shareholders are going to get a lot of benefit from. And it lets us, it lets guys like Bob Singh, who's been on the board for years now, he wants to focus on the drilling, the exploration development of the company, and effectively like the resource definition work is going to be massively time consuming. So you're going to see more changes over time with Great Bear as we basically keep driving the project down the road and we acquire the expertise we need to do that. And Paula is an excellent, excellent next step. We added Mike Kenyon earlier in the year, and Paula is an excellent next step showing the growth of the company towards that development profile.
All right. Hey, Chris, appreciate you spending the last two segments of the second hour with us. A lot of valuable insights there, and hopefully that update from Great Bear answers a lot of your questions and has everyone looking ahead to future drill results and what's coming from this company. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you enjoyed these full 2 hours. Please keep all the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I'm happy to address those and happy to bring on and get answered any questions you have for companies really across the sector. Chris, really appreciate your time this weekend too. Thank you. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.